Remember how everybody was so down after the Affordable Care Act / Obamacare when the Supreme Court ruled it constitutional and said, well, there's nothing to be done now. It's a done deal. Everything's set in stone. People were saying, though, there's still some concerns about this behemoth of a bill. Some over 2,000 pages originally as they were shoving this thing through or voting it on Christmas Eve at 3 or 4 in the morning. And folks saying, look, there are problems with the language in this bill. And who knew that four words established by the state might come back to haunt all those machination folks in Washington, D.C. who shoved this thing through? Joining us right now, because he was one of the early people talking about this case of King versus Burwell that the Supreme Court is listening to, is our good friend Michael Cannon. He is the director of health policy studies at Cato Institute. Good morning, Michael.
I was one of the early people, C4, and I was doing it on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm so proud to get you back. I'm proud to get you back because this was one of the cases that you said to us. You said it's one of those cases that are in the weeds a little bit. A lot of folks aren't paying attention to it, but it has the possibility and probability of unraveling the entirety of the Affordable Care Act. Because if the exchanges, according to the language in the legislation, have to be established by the state, Michael Cannon, the federal government can't just come in and give these subsidies.
It's not just the subsidies. What this case is really about is the fact that the IRS is trying to expand its authority under the ACA without going through Congress by imposing illegal taxes on more than 57 million Americans. And those taxes come in the form of Obamacare's individual mandate and employer mandate. So they're expanding Obamacare by imposing it on 57 million people whom Congress exempted. And they include a musician and a professor of music not far from where you and I are in Northern Virginia. His name is Kevin Pate. His employer, when they saw that the IRS was going to impose the employer mandate on them, they had to cut hours for a lot of adjunct professors so that they wouldn't be penalized for not offering them health insurance. That meant that lots of those professors got their hours cut, they got their incomes cut, and that Kevin Pace that I mentioned, he took a hit to his income of $8,000.
My goodness.
That's a tax. You know, even though it's not money he's paying to the IRS,
right,
it's just an income loss. It's still a tax because he's having to pay for Obamacare, or I should say the IRS's unilateral expansion of Obamacare in that way. That sort of thing is bad enough. I mean, that's what Obamacare does, and it's bad enough when it's legal, but this was illegal.
Well, let me stop you for a second there, because I want you to highlight what you have in your piece, what's happening in Indiana, because also to me, what's happening at the public school district in Indiana is so huge, what the IRS is doing. Michael Cannon's piece, Protect Taxpayers from Illegal Taxes, really gives you a window into what the Affordable Care Act case, King versus Burwell, is right now. What they're calling for, the proponents of suing for, Michael Cannon, is for the law not to be changed, but to be implemented as is, right?
That's the great irony of this case. The people who wanted Obamacare to be enacted, they wanted it to become law, now they don't like how it works. They're kind of like the rest of us that way. And they think the solution is to rewrite it or have the IRS rewrite and expand the law so that they can tax more and spend more and try to make it work that way. But the challengers in this case are people like me, opponents of the law, who are saying, no, you can't do that. You have to implement the law as it was written. And if you don't like the way the law was written,
there's a process for that.
Join the club. Join the club. But you can't tax and spend without congressional authorization just because you have buyer's remorse over this lousy law you passed.
Let's talk about what's happening in Indiana, because if you give a real-life example, as you did with Mr. Pace, a real-life example of how the IRS is subjecting public school districts to the mandate and not even had to cut hours for substitute teachers, instructional aides, special education instructors. I mean, you got on a list of all of what's happening in Indiana, Michael.
Right, and we know more about Indiana than others. This is happening in every state. You know, every state has schools. Every school system has part-time workers, and they were either, because of Obamacare, they were, because of the IRS, unilaterally expanding Obamacare, they were forced either to provide health insurance for every employee who works more than 30 hours a week. That's how The IRS defines full-time here. And if they didn't, they were going to face huge penalties. Well, that creates a perverse incentive for the employer to neither provide health insurance nor pay the penalties, but to cut people's hours. And everyone knew this was going to happen. This is why we said don't pass Obamacare, because that will happen. Well, a lot of school systems have had to cut hours because the health insurance and the penalties were just too expensive. That was their lowest cost option. That left a lot of substitute teachers, bus drivers, cafeteria
maintenance
workers,
people, the people at the lower end of the spectrum.
Maintenance people, special ed instructors with less income. And it, again, it's bad enough when that's legal, but this is illegal. And we know more about Indiana than other states, because in Indiana, about three dozen school districts joined with the state of Indiana to file a challenge to the IRS's illegal taxes. It's just like King v. Burwell. So this isn't a case of opponents of Obamacare trying to hurt the law. You've got public school districts in Indiana who are suing to stop the IRS from imposing these illegal taxes. Don't tell me that they oppose this law. Generally speaking, teachers and public school administrators are left of center. They tend to be Democrats. And that's who's being hurt.
That's who's being harmed. Michael Cannon is from Cato Institute. Last minute I have with you, Michael. Isn't it just ironic? You hear the media talking about all these millions of people who will lose their subsidies and lose their health care if the Supreme Court rules against us. They don't frame the story where you have a legislative body, the United States Senate and House, that passed a bill, shoved it through with language that they were told was incorrect. You don't hear the story being told that way.
When they complain about the effects of this potential effects of this case, what they're really complaining about is Obamacare. If people lose their health insurance, that's because that's Obamacare. That's what Obamacare is. So they're really making an argument for reopening or repealing Obamacare when they say that it's that harmful.
Michael Cannon, we have your piece posted, Protect Taxpayers from Illegal Taxes. It's going to be interesting to see how Justice Kennedy, as many people are saying, he'll probably be the sway vote. So let's see how he rules.
It will be interesting. I think most people are reading him incorrectly.
You think so?
Yes. A lot of people, what he did was he raised constitutional concerns about the challenger's interpretation of the statute. But that doesn't mean that he's going to rule against them. It just means that if he rules for them, he might do something that the government likes even less.
Well, they were sure fooled by Justice Roberts the last time, weren't they?
Yes, one can never predict.
Michael Cannon, always great to speak with you, my friend. I want your phone calls now. What do you think about this case, King versus Burwell? Established by the state, those four words could end up undoing what we've now seen as the Affordable Care Act.